Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpetuity, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. Cause this storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is April 26, 2020. We are currently into hour three on Spreaker.com, but connecting with Blog Talk Radio simulcasting for your preference, depending on where you want to go. If you did not catch the first 2 hours, I encourage you to go to Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And the podcast is American Renegade with Art Underground. And you can hear the first 2 hours along with this hour, which will all be posted there in the archives. But for this hour three, we'll be taking your calls after, if you want to call in, after I finish talking about this. Let me drop the chat room down out of the way here so I can see. I want to talk about this protection, this Paycheck Protection Program and Healthcare Enhancement Act. Now, this was passed last week, I believe it was either Tuesday or Wednesday, I forget which day it was, but Congress passed it, both the House and the Senate, and now we're waiting to see if Trump is going to sign it, which all indications say he will. Now, I've read this, I've gone over this thing like five times because I wanted to make sure that I had it right. Now, I'm not going to actually sit here and read the whole thing, you know, bit by bit. I'm just going to kind of go through it and tell you everything that's in this. Now, this is an amendment in the nature of the substitute intended or to be proposed by striking all after an enacting clause and inserting the following. This act may be cited as the Paycheck Protection Program and Healthcare Enhancement Act. You can look this up. The PDF is available online. It's not hard to find. So the first thing we have here is Division A. This is the small business program. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to go through this and we're going to tell you where this, it's like, I think it's $489 billion is what they've assigned. This was after the, what was it, a little over $3.5 billion relief package that they set up for small businesses to be able to help small businesses. It was wiped out of its money like in like 3 days. So they went back and they did a new one, and that's this one. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm just going to go through and I'm going to tell you where all this money goes. Folks, you're being taken for a ride. You know, when I was in the penitentiary, it was called roughing it. If you get my drift, it's called roughing it. It means without lubrication. Okay. So we go through and we're going to scroll down here and we're going to start finding where the money starts coming into play and where it all goes. All right. Idle grants, $10 billion becomes $20 billion. Eligibility of agricultural enterprise for economic industry disaster zones and emergency grants. Scroll down here. And let me see, where is it? Okay, here we go. Set aside for insured depository institutions, credit unions, and community financial institutions. The insured depository institutions and credit unions, $30 billion. Community financial institutions and small insurance depository institutions and credit unions, again, $30 billion. Emergency designations. Now, here's where we really get into the – they claim that there's a statutory pay-as-you-go. And that's 2 U.S.C. 93 – or 933G. Department of Health and Human Services, $75 billion. Freaking nuts. Scrolling down further, where it starts breaking it down, because this is $75 billion just for the Public Health and Social Services Emergency Fund, but they go through and they actually break it down into which parts of, because it has what they call sub agencies or interagencies within it. And we get down here to it adds an additional $25,000 to remain available until extended to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus domestically or internationally. Oops, we're sending money outside of the country. What the hell's up with that? For necessary expenses to research, develop, validate, and manufacture, purchase, administer, and expand capacity for COVID-19 testing to effectively monitor and suppress COVID-19, including tests for both active infection and prior exposure, including molecular antigen and serological tests, the manufacturing, procurement, and distribution of tests, testing equipment and testing supplies, including personal protective equipment needed for administering tests, the development and validation of rapid molecular point-of-care tests and other tests, support for workforce epidemiology and scale-up academic, commercial, public health, and hospital laboratories to conduct surveillance and contract tracing support, development of COVID-19 testing plans, and other related activities related to COVID-19 testing. Now, did you get all that? Folks, this is enough to give you a freaking headache. Basically, what they just said was $100 billion to go to the human, the Department of Health and Human Services. I don't see how that helps small business. I thought the whole idea behind this was to help keep small businesses from going under. Let's see, scrolling down here to the next one. I mean, they just go on and on, page after page after page after page of just basically saying the same thing over and over and over again. All right. For the strategic national stockpile. This is rich. All right. Products purchased with funds appropriated under this paragraph in the act may, at the discretion of the secretary, be deposited in the Strategic National Stockpile under Section 319F-2 of the Public Health Service Act, that of the amount appropriated under this paragraph in this act, $600 million shall be transferred to Health Resources and Service Administration, primary health care, for grants under the health centers programs as defined by Section 330 of the Public Health Service Act, and for grants to federally qualify health centers as defined in Section 1861 AA-4B of the Social Security Act. How do you like that? Also of the Public Health Service Act shall not apply the funds provided under the previous provision, provided further that the amount of appropriated under this paragraph in this act, $225 million, shall be used to provide additional funding for COVID-19 testing and related expenses through grants or other mechanisms to rural health clinics as defined in Section 1861 AA-2 of the Social Security Act, with such funds also available to such entities for building or construction of temporary structures, leasing of properties, and retrofitting facilities as necessary to support COVID-19 testing. Now, go back to this part where it talks about temporary structures and such as that. Remember, let's go back to New York. All of those temporary structures that they built for the emergency overflow that they said we were going to get. Kind of like they brought the USS Comfort into New York's harbor to act as a hospital ship. They literally revamped the entire Navy ship there, that ship for the Navy. They revamped it, turned it into basically a floating hospital ward, and they never used it. They built all these temporary emergency structures in places like New York and the major cities in California and all around the country. Never used them. But yet we're going to give them another $225 million to continue doing the same crap that they haven't needed to use. What the hell? How many of you people have actually read this? Now we've got another $1 billion to be provided and used to cover the cost of testing for uninsured using the definitions applicable to funds provided under this heading in Public Law 116-127. Not later than 21 days after that date of enactment of this act, the Secretary, in coordination with other appropriate departments and agencies, shall issue a report on COVID-19 testing. So that's $1 billion to do what? To sit down and write a freaking report? Scrolling down here to find some more numbers. $6,000 shall be transferred to and merged with funds made available under the heading Office of the Secretary, Office of Inspector General, and shall remain available until expended for oversight of activities supported with funds appropriated to the Department of Health and Human Services to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus domestically or internationally, again, throwing money to other countries. Now we get into the independent agencies. We just went through the federal agencies that are all connected with the Social Security Administration and the Department of Health and Human Services. Federal agencies. Did you catch the numbers there? Freaking insane. Now, here's where we get into independent agencies, Small Business Administration salaries, and expenses. For an additional amount of salaries and expenses, $2,100,000 to remain available until September 30th, 2021, to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus domestically or internationally, provided that such amount is designated by the Congress as being for an emergency requirement pursuant to Section 251B2AI of the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985. Again, where does this help the mom and pop who's on the verge of going out of business? Now, the disaster loan program account. For an additional amount for disaster loans program account for the cost of direct loans authorized by Section 7B of the Small Business Act. Here's where the mom and pops come into play. Page 22 of a 25-page document. You see, I really did scan over an awful lot that I didn't mention because we would be here for days dissecting this thing if I went article by article, and we just don't have that kind of time. I just wanted to bring you the highlights so you see where this money's going. So, for an additional amount of disaster loans program account for the cost of direct loans authorized by Section 7B of the Small Business Act, $1 billion, to remain available until expended to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus domestically or internationally, provided that such amount is designated by the Congress as briefing for an emergency requirement for section, pursuant to Section 251B2AI of the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985. How does that help the small mom and pop? I'm still waiting. Emergency EIDL grants. For an additional amount for the emergency EIDL grant, for the cost of emergency EIDL grants authorized by Section 1110 of Division A of the CARES Act, that's the one that they passed like several weeks ago for like a little over $3.5 billion that was gone in like 2 days. Here's where we finally start getting into that. Maybe or maybe not. Here's how they word it. For an additional amount of emergency EIDL grants for the cost of emergency EIDL grants authorized by Section 1110 of Division A of the CARES Act, Public Law 116-136, $10 billion to remain available until expended to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus domestically or internationally, provided that such amount is designated by Congress as being for an emergency requirement pursuant to Section 251B2AI of the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Act of Control Act of 1985. They just keep all of this money, and then they say the exact words, because every bit of it, no matter what section of what act or what public law, a designated dollar figure to remain, and they just keep repeating, to remain available until expended for prevention, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus virus domestically or internationally. They just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. So all of these different dollar figures that we keep hearing, $10 billion, $1 billion, $25 billion, all of this money all going to the exact same place. Are you catching this? Is any of this getting through? Are you realizing what they're saying here? None of this money has yet made it to the small business who's on the verge of going out of business. None of it. We're now on page 23, and we still have not figured out if the mom and pop are going to get any money. Which brings us to Title III, General Provisions of this Act. Now, we scroll through here, page 24, page 25, and we haven't seen a dollar figure. That's it. That's all the money. It's all gone. It's all gone. Everybody, all gone. And where in there does any of this money become available to make loans to small businesses? Did you hear anything in there that actually said money going to small business? Or did you hear everything goes for the prevention of, the tracing of, the purchasing of, just the same crap over and over and over? Nothing changes. Again, the American people are being taken for a ride. And when I was in prison, we called it roughing it. That's not bad enough. You can go to Kitco.com, CoinWorld.com, Bloomberg.com, SDBullion.com, CoinWeek.com. You go to any website that talks about gold and silver, and they all are saying the same freaking thing. Due to the increasing number of COVID-19 cases in Orange County, New York, and out of an abundance of caution, the United States Mint has temporarily suspended production at the West Point facility. This is one of the primary locations for the U.S. Mint. And there are only, I think, somebody in one of the chat rooms may want to correct me on this, I'm not sure, but to the best of my knowledge, there are only three U.S. Mint facilities in the country. One is in New York, one is in Denver, and one is in, Philadelphia. And the easy way to know where your coin comes from is by looking on your coins. You'll either be looking for a D or a P. You know, D would be Denver, P would be Pennsylvania. You get the idea. So the largest mint facility in the country at West Point has shut down, making the ability, you almost can't get, you almost cannot buy gold or silver. It's becoming very difficult to buy gold and silver right now. They don't want you buying gold and silver because they know that gold and silver is real money. It's why I've invested. I don't have a whole lot of silver bullion, but I do have some. I don't have a whole lot of pneumatic coins, but I do have some. And if we have an absolute total economic collapse and the entire economic system folds in on itself, I'm sitting pretty good because I've got real money. If you've not been investing in silver or gold, I can't afford gold, but I do have one gold coin. And if we have an economic collapse, holy smokers, I'm gonna be doing good, considering the fact that, you know, I add to that my 999 silver and then all my pneumatic coins. But I've been putting a little bit into an ounce here, an ounce there, as I could afford, you know, when it dropped down to a price that I could afford, when silver would hit like $14 to $17 an ounce, I'd buy me some silver. I'd buy me a couple ounces of silver. Anytime I go to the store and I get change, I always insist on my change because I'm going to go through that change and I'm going to start looking. I look at the dates because I know what dates I'm looking for. And anything pre-1964, as far as nickels, dimes, quarters, 50-cent pieces, silver dollars, pre-1964 and earlier, 90% silver. That's real money right there. There's no silver in the coins from 1965 moving forward. There's no silver. As far as pennies go, 1981 and before, it's your copper. Your copper penny. That's real money. I've got like I got like 41 ounces of copper. That's real money right there. But it's getting, you know, I'm glad that I actually invested a little here and there as I could afford it. because I was concerned that something like this was going to happen. And they're talking about, I mentioned this earlier last week on one of my broadcasts on Block here on Block Talk Radio. I mentioned Harry Dent, a guy who studies the economy, the history of economics, and primarily focuses on depression eras. And we've already had three depressions here in the United States. The last one began in 1929 and kicked off in 1930 and lasted up until 1933, at which point they eventually began to seize gold from the hands of the people. And actually, for many years, it was illegal to own gold. And then we had, well, who was it, Nixon? Nixon or Reagan took us off the gold standard. And up until then, when you got a bill, you could look on, you would say redeem, redeemable upon, the bearer. You could take like a $2 bill or a $1 bill or a $10 bill or a $5 bill. You could take it to any U.S. mint, any primary central bank location, and you could trade it in for an actual gold or silver coin, depending on the denomination. You could actually walk in, hand them a $1 bill, and they would hand you a silver coin which weighed 21.25 grains of silver, according to the weights and measures set by Congress under the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, where it talks about Congress has the authority to coin money and set a system of weights and measures, a dollar was the equivalent of 21.25 grains of silver. Now, they would add other metals to it because silver is very soft. So they would add other metals to it to make it strong, so it wouldn't bend. A nice, good, solid coin. But it was real money. But up until we were taken off the gold standard, you could take a dollar bill or a $2 bill, and you could trade it in for silver. Or whatever denomination, if you had a high enough, if you had a $100 bill, you could actually get a couple gold coins. And at that time, the exchange rate between gold and silver was 14 ounces of silver per 1 ounce of gold. Ain't that something? Just a little economy. But now you can't do that anymore, because now, instead of being called a treasury bond, it's called a Federal Reserve note, and it's backed by absolutely nothing. It has no real value. It takes the exact amount of paper and ink to print a $100 bill as it does to print a $1 bill. Now, why in the hell is that one bill worth more than the other? And why in the hell did Congress in 1933 give away authority to coin money, its control over economy, and give it to a for-profit private corporation? And they did this in secret, by the way, thanks to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which was created here at Jekyll Island, which is right off the coast of Georgia here. And now the Federal Reserve, a privately owned corporation, for-profit, loans money to the federal government with debt immediately attached to it. And the problem here is, well, the only money that's being printed is the principal. So where do they come up with the money to pay the interest? It's never created. Therefore, you have to continue to borrow money every year. You go deeper and deeper in debt. You see, this is called perpetual debt. And this is how you, ladies and gentlemen, have become slave to a financial system that is as corrupt as any organized criminal cartel on the planet. In fact, they're worse than any organized criminal cartel on the planet. And all of this could be ended with one simple move if Congress just simply grew a set of balls and revoked the Federal Reserve Charter. That would end it right there. Take us right back to the gold standard, and we'd be good. Hell, that's why they went after Gaddafi. Gaddafi decided he didn't want to trade in U.S. dollars connected to the petrodollar, thank you, Bretton Woods Agreement. He wanted to go back to the gold dinar. That's why they went after Gaddafi. Not because he was a tyrant, but because he wanted to go back to the gold standard. It's the same damn reason they went after Saddam Hussein, because Saddam Hussein said, I'm not going to trade in your U.S. dollars. We're going to use gold. That's why they went after Saddam Hussein. He didn't have weapons of mass destruction. He just had a set of balls and was willing to challenge the system. Kind of the same thing that got Kennedy killed. Oh, that's my Alex Jones impersonation. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go back to the chat rooms and see what we got going on here. Hey, I see Suzette in the chat room. How you doing, girl? Okay. Not much going on. How much to Harvard? Harvard was not included in this $489 billion bill. Now, what did happen with Harvard was they had passed in the original stimulus that they did a few weeks ago, since you asked about Harvard in the chat room, AK Cog asked about Harvard, we have to go back to the very first stimulus bill that they did a couple weeks ago. Harvard has a $41 billion endowment, and that's every year. I'm trying to see if I can find that document. I'm not even sure where I filed it away. Probably going to be in here. Here it is. All right. Forbes.com. This was a few weeks back. It was right after they announced that the original $349 billion relief package, all those funds were wiped out in just a few days. Harvard University, they have a $4.9 billion endowment every year. That's Harvard. They got $9 million out of that stimulus. Now, of course, when the word got out and critics just like were like, what the hell? Harvard decided to give the money back. Arizona State University, they got $63.5 million. Rutgers University got $54 million. Ohio State University got $42.8 million. San Diego State University got $29 million. San Francisco State University got $28 million, and New York University got $25 million. That doesn't include the Ivy League schools, like Columbia, they got $13 million. The University of Pennsylvania got almost $10 million. Yale, which is the second largest endowment of all the colleges and universities in the United States, second only to Harvard, they got $25.5 billion endowments every year. They got almost $7 million. Now, what was interesting was at the same point, at the same time, Trump's two sons came out and they were like, well, we want to be treated fairly. They want money for their New York hotel, that big five-star New York hotel they've got there. Yeah, they want money. They want to be treated like everybody else, because they want to recover some of the money that they've lost from people not coming to the hotel. Look, as much money as you guys got. You know, as much money as the Trumps have, you can afford to take this hit, guys. Okay? Come on. I see Suzette in the chat room. She wonders what Prager University got. That would be Dennis Prager. I used to listen to him, but I kind of got tired of hearing the same crap over and over and over again. Because it's always the same stuff. Every show is the same stuff. And I think it's funny. He talks about, you know, getting out of debt. You've got to get away from credit card debt. But go to Prager's, go to his website and use a credit card to take his course. Where does that make any sense? You've got to get out of your credit card debt. You've got to destroy your credit cards and get away from credit card debt. But you have to use a credit card in order to take his course. Are you freaking kidding me? Seriously? This is another one of those guys you just want to take out back and beat with a blunt instrument. I know it. Yeah, she says it's a joke. I know it's a joke. But I just had to comment on that. But I haven't heard anything from about them. I don't think they get government money at all. And in fact, the majority of what Dennis Prager does as far as Prager University is online. They do very little actual in-house. I mean, they do some, but not a whole lot. But then again, Dennis Prager's worth several million. He can afford to take the hit too. And here's another thing. Have you noticed everybody who's talking about we need to continue the stay-at-home lockdown orders, like Bill Gates? He's talking about we need another 10 weeks of lockdown. Are you kidding me? Another 2.5 months? Dr. Birx talking about social distancing is going to last all through the summer. Yeah, all the way up to the next flu season. We're going to do this all year. But has anyone noticed that all of these people who are talking about, from governors to mayors to critters, whether they're in the House or the Senate, they're all, except for a few, they're all talking about we've got to continue the stay-at-home orders, and then we've got like the Nazi kind of mentality like we have with Governor Whitmer Michigan, Governor Whitmer, with her little dictatorial, sit down and shut up. We're going to do it my way. Gavin Newsom, Mayor de Blasio, Governor Cuomo. You know, people like this. Congress critters, governors, they're all, you know, so-called quote-unquote news reporters. I'm doing air quotes here. All of these people talking about we need to continue the stay-at-home orders, they're all still getting paychecks. I mentioned this in the first hour of the broadcast. They're all still getting paychecks. But I felt the need to mention it for you Blog Talk audiences. So that you would kind of get a little bit more flavor of what we had in the first 2 hours. And again, I encourage you, Blog Talk listeners, go to Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. I'm not the only one voice there. Suzette, who's in the chat room, RZ, who's in the chat room, they're also same channel. RZ owns the channel. And we'll be promoting them as we do at the end of every broadcast, so you know exactly who and when and all of this stuff. Abrams would in the chat room, Suzette says, just because of him being a Nazi, Abrams would have you on lockdown just because, yeah, Stacey Abrams, the one who lost her run for the governorship here in Georgia, she thinks that Governor Kemp, our governor, is moving too fast to open our economy back up. Yeah, she wants to continue it. But all of these people are still getting paychecks. They're all still getting paychecks, every one of them. The talking heads on the mainstream media. The only people I hear that are actually talking about we need to get back to work, and I'm hearing it every day, and I used to hate listening to these guys, but I'm telling you what, as time goes by, their tones are starting to change. Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, they're both of them, every day. I listen to them every day, Monday through Friday. And both of them are constantly, we've got to get back to work. This is not sustainable. The only problem I have, and here would be, if you know, I know Rush Limbaugh never hears my voice. He's only taken my call once. He doesn't like me much because I challenge him. But so I know he doesn't hear. But if I could say anything to him, it would be, look, Rush, you're worth how many millions? You've made your mark. You've made your hit. You are going to be part of history from here on out. You've earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, you've done it all, dude. Why don't you start telling the truth? You're dying anyway. Okay? You got lung cancer. You are dying. Why not just start telling the truth, dude? This would be a good time to come clean. Anyway, AK Cog in the chat room says, I think you might learn more at Prager University. That would be useful than you would learn at Harvard. You're probably right. In fact, I learned a lot. I listened to Dennis Prager for like, I guess, 3 years. And after 3 years, I pretty much everything was just becoming repetitive. It was the same thing day after day after day after day after day till I finally just, I got sick of hearing the same stuff day after day. Nothing was new. It's kind of like if you listen to Alex Jones. Alex Jones is great for people just waking up, okay? But if you're still listening to Alex Jones after 6 months, you're not evolving, okay? My sister Hutch, this is my baby sister, everybody, Hutch. That's actually my actual biological baby sister. She's 2 years and 11 days younger than I am. She says, "Ah, hell, you start dying the day you're conceived." Absolutely. We live to die. And I like to say, death is the ultimate rush. That's why it's saved for last. Hamstrap is now in the Spreaker chat room. So he has left. Oh no, he's still in the blog talk. Flycatch comes and goes. Flycatch don't want to stick around much. I don't think Flycatch likes me much. Hamstrap sends some really great emails for stuff to check out. He sent me one today, and I think it's probably going to be part of next Sunday's broadcast. Dude, Haim, if you've got that link handy, drop it in the chat room, because I think everybody should go read this, because it's just nuts. You know that big one that you sent me today about the Rockefellers and the other PDF? Drop that link in the chat room, because I think everybody really should read this. It is just, I mean, off the wall, insane to the nth degree. And I think I'm probably going to talk about that next Sunday, because I only had enough time to scan it briefly before going live this evening. But it was enough to get my attention. Something I want to get to, I this was also part of the outline for this evening, and I want to get to it before I run out of time. I don't know how many of you watched the president and his comment about the United States Postal Service, the USPS. Quote, the Postal Service is a joke because they're handing out packages for Amazon and other internet companies, and every time they bring a package, they lose money on it. He went on to say, if they don't raise the prices of their services that they give, I'm not signing anything, and I'm not authorizing you to do anything. We're going to post certain criteria for a postal reform program as part of the loan. Again, when the U.S. government gets its hands on anything, it destroys it. The United States has already, decades ago, basically took control of the Postal Service. Now it's working to further solidify that chokehold and nationalize it and make it a full-blown government agency. Oh, and did you know postal carriers are actually licensed law enforcement officers? Or at least the postmaster is. The individual carriers that deliver the mail, they may not be, but each post office has a postmaster, and he actually is a licensed law enforcement officer. Yeah, he can come to your house and arrest you. Bet you didn't know that. Pelosi responded to Trump's comments saying, this is really dangerous, and Mnuchin at Treasury is trying to leverage the debt situation in a way that must be stopped. You know, for once, I actually agree. This is the only time anything has come out of the mouth of Nancy Pelosi that I actually agree with. But we're talking about, according to a Washington Post article, which first reported on Trump's push for these changes, they quoted an unnamed official at the Postal Service, apparently a senior Postal Service official, told the Washington Post, under conditions of anonymity, that the administration wants to use a $10 billion loan as leverage to influence how much the postal agency charges for delivering packages and how it manages its finances. Trump, I thought you wanted to, get rid of some really stupid, unnecessary regulations. When did you change your mind? Oh, kind of like you were going to instruct the Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General, to investigate the Clinton Foundation. And then as soon as you won the election, well, I think the Clintons have suffered enough. Yeah. Kind of backpedaled on a lot of what he said, you know. And then he claims he wants to do something that he actually has the constitutional authority to do, and he doesn't do it because some jackass Democrat said, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. When actually, you know, he actually does have the constitutional authority. And I'd have to go back and look it up. I have the document somewhere in my archives. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents. Actually, I think I've got closer to a few thousand documents on various different laws, statutes, codes, amendments. I've got every single statute at law ever written, a copy of the entire thing. I mean, it's just insane. I've got law big dictionaries going back to the 17, I think it's 1819 or something like that. I've got Black's, the first edition, Bouvier's first edition. I've got Sir William Blackstone's entire commentary on common law. I mean, I've got an entire law library that would be the equivalent of a 4-year college degree. And I've been studying law since 1986, and I'm currently enrolled in my third law school. So I think I know a little something about what the hell I'm doing here. I mean, because you don't study this stuff this long and not learn something. But I think this is the first time that you know, Nancy Pelosi has actually said anything that I agree with. And the last thing you need to do with the post office is go full on national. In fact, the government needs to back the hell off, get its hands off of the Postal Service, and let it go back to being run the way it was originally run when it was called the Pony Express. Only today would be using cars and trucks and stuff. But back then, it was run by private individuals who worked together to move mail across the country. And that makes a hell of a lot more sense. Also, just really quick to touch on something real quick. Of this $2.2 trillion stimulus, I'm still waiting. Where's my check? I still haven't got my check yet. People that will not get, that are not entitled. Foreign aid exchange students. Undocumented immigrants. Let's call them what they are, illegal aliens. If you are a U.S. citizen and you married an illegal, you don't qualify. If you are disabled and someone else can claim you on their income tax, you don't qualify. They will get your money. Yeah. Anyway, you can look all that up too. Boy, what a broadcast, man. That's, geez. Been fun. I love doing this. I really do. I love doing this. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I hope it's been insightful and informative. Let's go back to the chat room real quick. My sister says, yeah, I'm still waiting on my check too. Yeah, but your law degree is not the same as mine. My best friend works for the government. That's how I get a lot of info. That's a good source to have. Yeah, take a breather. Yeah, I know it, right? But I can do – my sister knows I can go for hours like this. I did – and without – and go from one topic to another and never miss a beat. Suzette says, what about POS arrests? Yeah, we need a bunch of them. The Rockefeller, what's the date of release? I don't know. You'll have to go look at those links that Hamestrap dropped in the chat room there, because it's all right there. Again, I haven't really had a chance to actually read it. I just had a chance to basically kind of scan over it to see what it was about. But I will be reading over it over the next week so I can cover that come next Sunday, because I think it's something that's going to definitely be might give you an upset tummy. My sister says, yeah, the dummy goes forever bouncing around and forgets to breathe. Hey, it's a good thing I quit smoking, right? Okay, so anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Check out Spreaker.com/user/IdeasAreBulletproofRadio. Every Tuesday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, Suzette Live Talk. That would be Obscure Sapphire in the chat room. Again, every Tuesday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, Suzette Live Talk every Tuesday evening. RZ, the owner of Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio, RZ's Thursday Tunes Show. RZ's Thursday Tunes Show. There we go. Hey, that's a tongue twister. I'll tell you what. Too many T's. Two tree toads tied together tried to trot to town. Anyway. RZ's Thursday Tunes Show, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and he plays some really awesome music, a lot of stuff I've never heard. He played some really, really great stuff last Thursday. I really enjoyed that. And then RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and of course me every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Spreaker.com/user/ideas are bulletproof radio. Again, thanks for tuning in. Please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. Till next time, I'm Art Underground. For American Renegade, be safe out there. Talk to you next time.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.